Blimey, we're back like magic. Whoop, whoop. Martin Nightram, double bubble. Yes. We just had Conrad subs. Now it's Martin Nightram. We've had to switch things around in the last couple of weeks for obvious reasons. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
And you were supposed to be on a couple of weeks, but obviously, you know, exactly. What happened. Unfortunately, with Skibber, we've moved things around. But, welcome to the show. You only live down the road,
literally,
didn't
you? Literally 5 minutes down the road.
Wicked.
Local boy. Wicked. All my life.
I used to DJ at Slammers, didn't I? That's well before your time in Grange. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that was... Wow, we had some nights there. It's crazy. It's mad because all of these places like Ipswich and Grays, they were footholds of where we used to play in the early 90s. You know, like Slammers was...
Yeah.
The geezers just used to find me out of the blue. Used to put three or four of us on. Me, Kenny, Randall...
Was that right in the central?
Ryan, where and you used to have to go down the stairs.
And a few names, didn't it?
I don't even know if it's still going.
To be honest, no idea myself. No.
But obviously, you would have been going down the road to Hastings. You would have been going down the road to Maidstone.
Yeah.
Is that where you...
Maidstone Atomics, yeah. Regular down there.
Wow.
Some Atomics, good times. Right. I think I see you there.
Yeah.
Perform a couple of times myself. So.
Yeah, we were residents there, and we were all on rotation. We had some... That venue was so big, bro.
It was, yeah. I enjoyed it down there. Just over the water, wasn't it?
And people were going mad. Let's do a little introduction. How did you get into the whole jungle D&B thing, up in Grays?
Well, I started...
Hold on a minute. Where was Mickey Finshot biting back?
I don't know.
That was
just Boogie Times myself. Or Black Markets.
Yeah.
Sound Zone.
Okay.
And what's the other one in Bow Rhythm Division?
Okay.
There were a few I used to circuit week in, week out. Yeah.
And when was the first time you heard a jungle tune?
A jungle tune. I started off as a 7-year-old in 89, 90, taking my dad's Deep Heat albums religiously every day, listening to them. You remember that? The Acid House and Deep House stuff. So I followed the music, but from a young age, and then. Through the hardcore stages, my first album my mum brought it was the Prodigy Experience. So I've still got that cassette now under the bed somewhere. So it went from going through the whole genre I followed the whole thing without going out, you know, I was too young. So when it came 94, Jungle Mania, I was buying the Jungle Mania tapes. So the first track that springs to mind was Foul Play, Being With You. That's the first thing that really I fell in love with, that kind of music. Yeah, so it's from then really. Yeah, so I followed it all the way through.
Wow. When I think about those days, I think about Voodoo Magic and when they were all queuing up to go into the Hippodrome and all of these clubs in the West End at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something.
Yeah,
then it used to go till 12. It was nuts. But I think those days, anything was going because people used to rave during the day. There was no festivals then, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, after parties and whatnot.
Yeah, and that's what it was. So that was a big influence on you. And what other tunes? Obviously, Pirate Radio was a big thing.
Oh, Cool FM, yeah. Rude Awakening, even Syndicate as well, back then, still now. I was on there last week, actually. But, Cool FM was a massive part of my life growing up in the 90s. Everyone, you know, as you do, recording the tapes week in, week out. Yeah, man. Miss those days.
Nuts. Yeah. And when was the first time you started doing some production?
Production? Cool.
You on into production?
Well, I was raving from year 2000. And I think it was, went to the year, probably a couple of years into that, maybe even a year 2001.
How old were you then?
I was just left school, 16, 17.
Wow.
So, yeah. 2000. Yeah. So, you know, one of those...
You look making me feel old, man.
I feel it. I don't look it. I know.
But, I'm thinking 2000. I'm thinking, that's not really that long ago. Because
still 22 years ago.
Yeah, it is. It actually is.
Yeah. Mad, isn't it? It's crazy.
Because I was talking to Decline the other day. We were just in a conversation. And he went to be Ray. You guys have been producing and around since the 88, 89, like my first productions came out 91, 92.
Yeah, yeah.
So from the 90s, that's 3 decades, all of us have been rolling together.
Yeah, man, you're still
and I think
it.
that's why it hurts so much. It's when we lost Skibber. It was it's like time. Family. You think about it, for the first 10 years, there was probably 100 of us, maybe 50, 80, 100 proactive, you know, promoters, DJs, MCs, radio stations, and it was just us.
Yeah.
So we would go Germany together, we'd go Canada together, then we'd be at Slamming Vinyl, then we'd be at One Nation, then be at Junk. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It was just and it was very flick, yeah, it was, and we were all together. Huge, yeah, do you know yeah. what I mean? And that's what I think that's when it's so close like that. And you know, like I first met Shabba when he was like 13.
Yeah.
And he was at Telepathy.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All of them early Dave Foundation tunes. So what was the first rave you went to?
One Nation at Bagley's, year 2000.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah. I think I went with about 30 of us. One of those nights where you end up on your own right at the end. And I think Andy C last set, 5 till 6. And that was it. I don't think I even danced or moved. I was just locked in. And after that, it was like, that's me. I'm going to get a set of decks on the Monday. And it went from there. And I think it was literally a year later, I got my first residency at the Circus Tavern in Purfleet, just down the road. So we was doing that for about 6 months. Me and my mate Rob, MC BIG, big up yourself, son. He don't do it no more. But me and him rolled together for a long time, raving and doing radio shows.
What type
shows.
Of music was you playing then?
Jungle, drum and bass, yeah. Right. Sticking with the times, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we was doing that up at the Circus Tavern for, about 6 months to a year. And then it just stopped.
Because they have
it
boxing with, matches up there,
yeah,
don't
do boxing
they?
Yeah. matches, yeah. But that was Bernie. Do you remember Bernie? Used to, little fella. Used to be part of Innovation. Little Bernie.
I think I know him,
and it was
yeah.
him that was running it. I can't think of the name of the event, but yeah, we was doing that for quite a while. It was good. Good vibes. Got a bit naughty up there, though, so I think that's why they pulled out. But yeah, enjoyed that a lot. But it was, yeah, straight from my first rave to my first rave dance.
And when was the first time you got on the decks?
Then. Literally 6 months from my first rave, it was got a set of decks and then bang, and then my mate Rob's like, oh, Bernie can get us a set up the Circus Tavern. I'm like, well, yeah, let's do it. And it was just, yeah, amazing. Some of the best nights of my life up there. It was really good. Really, really good. Packed it out some nights upstairs.
And how have you find the transition from vinyl to USB to CD?
Well, I was playing out in Amsterdam in the Winston Kingdom throughout quite a lot of the noughties, doing that 3 times a year with mate Dave Edit. Can't think of the name of the night. But I went there, the first time I went there, I had a bag of vinyl when everybody else has got, you know, the sticks. And I'm like, okay, right. So if I go to a club and there's just CDJs, I'm going to be pretty... So it was straight after that little trip at that weekend, I got myself a set of CDJs. So I was kind of forced, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Didn't want to, but I did. And then, never looked back.
And then your production, I mean, I've talked to you about some of the stuff that you've done.
Yeah.
You've got a kind of unique... I would even say like it's bridging on the influences of maybe house and techno and
I'm into house as well. I do house.
So that kind of, that's now I mean that's again you make the little connection from listening to your dad's old house music
from the start, yeah.
I think that is the influence.
You can hear that, yeah,
without a doubt. Because I've said to you, wow, and some of the stuff that you've done, it's quite deep. Even you made that tune for Brad, your friend who passed away.
Brad,
but that has got those techno vibes and musical soulfulness within
very meaningful, deep, aggressive music. That's what I was into heavy metal a while back throughout the. Good mid-noughties, maybe, for a few years, doing all the festivals and that. So I'm into heavy music, aggressive music, deep. Yeah.
And that was the defining point, because that was... You made a couple of things, and I think I got on a blow, and I was like, mate...
This is the one.
We want
to...
For the next EP, definitely, definitely. And how have you... How did you find lockdown? That was a difficult...
That was really tough. The toughest part of my life, it really was. We were stuck in... Me and my baby mum and my boy, he was born... A week before lockdown, so he was a proper lockdown baby, and we was in a tiny bungalow, the three of us, and it took forever. We've moved out now in a 2-bed flat round the corner, but that period was just it felt impossible. We got through it, we did, but yeah, it was mad. Okay, I was making beats, but you know,
you had an outlet. Yeah.
You had that outlet. If I didn't have that, then God knows what would have happened. But yeah, man, it was not a very very nice time, man.
It was a tough
for a lot of people. Yeah, very tough. Yeah.
Yeah, and then suddenly now we're in a war. You come out of that and into...
Yeah, it's one thing after another, isn't
it? Yeah, and then you just think, hang on a minute, is there something else going on here? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And you wait for the... horrible, you wait for the next thing.
You know, no, leave it, no, please.
Go away.
Can I get off the merry-go-round now?
Stop because that train, bruv. Come on.
I've had enough. So let's go to production. So how long was it since you'd started to DJ? You'd had a good run. You was at the Circus Tavern. You'd picked up gigs. You were doing bits and pieces abroad.
I think it's 2003. Maybe I first started on Reason 2.5, I think it was at the time. It was just a messing around sort of thing. And for a few years, I first went to college 2009 in Havering, on Church Way. That was the music degree production, that was. I only did 1 year. I came out of that because I wanted to go back to work and earn money. I should have carried it on. But anyway, so I did that. And then from then, it did give me a kick up the bum to really go for it at production. You know, I've got my hands around Logic. First, I learnt Logic, got myself an Apple Mac with the course. So it went to 2012. So looking 2 years later, I got my 2013. I got my first release on a label called STFU Records. It was run by Ash. You remember Ash? He was part of Nightbreed, who did Pack of Wolves. You remember Ash with the dreadlocks?
Yeah, he used to drive
Andy C.
Yeah.
So me and him was quite close, releasing on his label, and he just went missing. I ain't seen him since. So I had two releases on that. I don't think the label did great. So that was
it's a confidence builder, isn't it? It gives you such a boost just to even have... How did you come up with the name Martin Nigel?
Well, my name originally was Gouldy. My second name, Gould. My nickname in school was Gouldy. So then... Until 2012-13... I changed it to Martin Nitrum because I've seen people on the internet say, oh, it sounds too much like Gouldy. Actually, it's been my nickname for years. My mates go, don't listen to them. But I thought, do you know what? No, I'm going to change it because I thought I'm going to try my hand at house music because a lot of house music DJs, well, most is their name. I thought, Martin, I'm not going to call myself Martin Gould. Don't say great. Another nickname in school, we used to call each other, like my mate Robert, I call him Tree Boar, he called me Nitrum. I thought, wow, Martin Nitrum. That'd do, and that just stuck, so I'll just use that from 2013-14.
The mirror
image thing.
So and you were making house before you were making...
Oh, no. I got into house 2014. I moved up to Milton Keynes for a couple of years, and then there was a big house rave up there in the bowl that sort of inspired me to think, you know, I've always wanted to have a go at house because I know that was the first thing
that
I was into.
Yeah.
I can do it. I know I can do it. So, yeah, done a couple of releases on Pathogen Beats, and there was one on One Fold Records. That's the one. Two singles it was. So two releases, but I just find it difficult to go from one to the other. So I've got back into drum and bass pretty quickly after that, and I've not got back into... I've made a couple of tunes last year during lockdown, house music, but I've not put them out yet. I've got my own label as well, house label, Stone Cold Audio. I've had two releases on that. It's just coming away from drum and bass, I find very difficult. Go from one to the other. So yeah, it's just that one channel with D&B Jungle. It's where I'm stuck at the moment.
I think that comes with time. I think sometimes we all put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and it's just about feeling free and making music. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Through lockdown, I was just banging tunes out left, right, and centre.
Yeah, man, same.
Because I had so much time on my hands. Do you know what I mean? Like there wasn't anything else apart from being on the radio once a week. It was nice.
I've got to give it to you, man. You're like the only one who stuck with it and through lockdown and that with your radio shows.
I can't think of anyone else that's done that. Do you know what? I think for my own mental health and for other people's, I just felt like... I think a lot of people were just shocked in what had happened. But even when I was talking to SS and... Listen, a lot of us who have been around from the early days, we've had dips and, you know, like... Yeah, when they weren't booking us, when there was no work, then we hit recession. Mm. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Then a lot of people went bust. And you learn how to ride those waves. Mm. Do you know what I mean? R.I.P. Skipper, he was very prominent as well. Do you know what I mean? Doing what we needed to do, really. Do you know what I mean? And I think I really enjoyed going up to the radio station, picking up... Origin FM. I just went there. There was no one there.
We're not there a few times.
Wiped everything down. Wiped the mic down before we had even started. Hand gel, Bosch, and it just took me away for a couple of hours.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, production-wise, what are you using now?
Logic 10. Yeah. So I haven't use anything else.
What monitors you got?
I've got the Rockets, little Rocket 5s. I know you said about investing in something bigger, but yeah, it's the money, but I will.
Yeah,
I
but
will
no, do I mean, you get a good, decent sound out.
You do.
Are they the KRK Rocket?
The 5s or the 6s? I've got the 5s. Yeah, the smaller
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've worked on them and I've DJed on them in studios and they have got.
They're okay for both, yeah, DJing and production. Yeah, they're in the middle, they're affordable. It's
yeah,
one of them ones.
Yeah, and 100%. Yeah. If you're at your starting point and that's what you want to do, I think it's really important that we do that. Who's helped you out along the way, Marty?
Yourself.
Thank you.
No worries. Get that in there quick. So, from the beginning, it was Ash. I ain't spoken to him in years, but people like Filth, my man Filth, he's helped me a lot with good pointers. My mate Sam Krabby, big yourself up, bruv. When he was running a label called Shifting Beats with AK, he was, you know, back and forth with tracks. He needs a bit of this, needs a bit of that. Not too much, like yourself as well. I can't think of anyone else, really. Randall, he was one of the... So going back to when I went to college and I had that first release with STFU, it was only a couple of years after that, then I've had a phone call, well, an email from Randall saying, give me your phone number. So he's rung me straight up, living in Milton Keynes at the time. He rung me from New York, as you do. And he's like, bruv, those two tunes, lock them off. I want them, they're done. Please, take them. And he was like, you're not the... I think he said the same as Randall. You're not that Martin from way back in the day, are you?
So there was a dubstep Martin.
Right, okay.
And he's...
Why, obviously, you think?
Yeah, and I was like, is this the geezer? Because when Youngster was working downstairs, his production was really clean. Mm. It was like Burial, and it really, really stood out. Like when MJ Cole does something, you can kind of tell, yeah, like the technicality, the sound, just the whole weight of the tunes. And I was thinking, and then you went no, and I was like, because this guy had a lot of releases, and it wasn't quite dubstep. It kind of, it could have been breakbeat, it could have been house, but it just had that kind of electronic dance thing where it could fit anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, maybe from exactly the same as you, from the influences from your dad's collection. That would have come to the forefront. But yeah, brother, let me tell you something. You're, again, you know, like, this is why we want to recognise you and bring you on the show, is because you're a breath of fresh air. Like Randall, you know, like, when you hear something straight away, you know it's different. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so you've definitely got something else and more to grow, I think.
That's what I'm doing exactly. I look up to people like yourself and
Thank
Randall,
you
and what you've done for me, I'm now doing for people with my label. Listen out for new music and whatnot. Yeah. And getting them on board, give them an opportunity.
Yeah, 100%.
If they go into something bigger, great. I've done my job. Got my satisfaction. You know,
Yeah. It's all about that. I think like I was saying to Con when he was here earlier on, we're gatekeepers. We open the gate and let you guys go through. Yeah. And you've now released on other labels as well and getting quite a bit of love.
Yeah, yeah.
What have you got coming out next?
Well, I've just had my album come out Friday on my own label. That's doing all right as it goes. Not too bad. Inner Demons. That's just come out. So what have I got coming next? Dread EP.
You've got another one with us.
Yeah, that's coming out. That's 6 tracks, I think. 6
And you've
on
done
there.
Some remixes for
remixes
us.
Remixes for you as well, yeah. Play a couple a day.
Where's the biggest play that you played recently before lockdown?
Biggest venue?
Or venue?
I did the Elusive Festival in the summer up in Corby.
Yeah.
That was so good. It was brilliant. Really good. I mean, you had people like Inside Info there and that. And, you know, first time I met these boys and you could tell, even they said it's the first time they've played out. And the vibe and the buzz and the excitement everybody had, it was electric, mate.
It was so good.
Who's
your influences whilst you've been learning your craft?
Craft, straight away. I mean, Skibbity, you know. Straight. I was into the MCing as much as the DJ from the beginning. So the MCs like Skibbity, Death, Shabba, Ragga Twins, all that lot, you know. Outstanding. But Andy C from the very beginning, Black Market, yourself, those DJs. And then through the way, you know, when Friction come about, after he progressed from the warm-up DJ, when he at Sanctuary, you used to see him. Even then, I was like, this boy's got it. And then next thing you know, he's headlining. He's doing cricket stadiums and whatnot, you know.
I remember we were in Ibiza and he had to play the last set, bless him. And he was hungry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like all of them, him, Mampy, they all kind of came through at the same time, didn't they? Do you know what I mean? On to do Shogun Audio and do some great things. But it's just nice to see people progress and keep going and going and going. And look how many people he's managed to bring through as
exactly
well.
Exactly that, yeah.
And production-wise, who were you looking at? Like, what artists?
Bad Company, back in the day. Yeah, even all the Ram boys, everyone from the Ram, Shimon, Red One, 8 Miles, Andy himself. Yeah, man. And even when, you know, the fresh air of Noisy had come about with that Neuro, that I loved the older stuff better than the new stuff. Yeah.
I suppose the actual turning point for that would have been Wormhole.
Yes.
Well, previous to that, U-Turn with the likes of Ed Rush.
Another two.
Optical, yeah, and all of those guys that came through that, Trace.
Trace, just about to say Trace.
I mean, like, when I heard that Lost Entity tune, Ryder played it, and obviously he was linked to that label, DJ Recordings, and I was like, this is a... And it was so musical. And I'll tell you what I listened to the other day. I listened to Piano by Pesce the other day.
All right, yeah.
And I was like, what a piece of music that really is.
You know, at the time, you appreciate it, but now when you listen back, it blows you away. It's ahead of its time, though.
100%.
Big time, yeah.
And even Bookham, when you listen to even his first original Logical Progression, where he used the same beat as... and also Johnny L. I mean, these geezers are game changers.
Big time, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they...
I was having a discussion about Johnny L's production the other week with a pal, how ahead of its time it really was.
Yeah. And when he did that album on XL, that just changed everything. You know, Piper. That two-step tune. Picking up the original Groove Rider and Fabio for leading us out of the darkness into the light, because all of those... I mean, I'm so gassed that Rage is coming and we're playing up there. Do you know what I mean?
Because that's a couple of weeks' time, is it?
It's over in... it's going to be in Heaven. And I think it's a daytime thing.
Okay.
Going into the evening. I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
But that, you know... I mean, Heaven is such an iconic venue for us. Do you know what I mean? Cole's done a few things over there.
Yeah.
Amazing. Who has helped you along the way? Like, who's given you your breaks? Or,
well, Randall was the first person to call me up, and it weren't too long after that. Then you give me a call. You two for definitely Filth, mentioned him before. George Deficit, who owns Ultimate. He ain't doing too much now, but he's another one to give me a break. Craig Spindle owns Nurtured Beats. He's another one. All around the same sort of time, sort of mid... What do you call it? Mid-tens, isn't it? Tens, yeah, around 2015, 16.
This whole area, even though it still comes under Essex, like going into Kent, Grays...
Thurrock and Thurford area.
Yeah,
then
that whole area.
Drum and bass.
Yeah, it's all... You go Maidstone, and then you go further down to Hastings. That whole... Every stop is always represented, hasn't it? You know, Heat used to be over there, and with Jim... And, mate, we had some blinding nights down there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember going there on a regular. Blimey, look at the time already. We're going to go to about 3:15 today because we've been running a little bit late. I had a little bit of car trouble. If you've just joined us, this is The Blueprint, episode 17. This is our second guest of today, Martin Nightram. He's going to roll out some tunes. Is there anyone else you want to thank? Along the way, family, friends.
Yeah, people. My mum and dad, my little boy Calvin, baby mum Delph, big yourselves up. Wild Swing, Ash, cousin Jim, some family, you know. And again, a big up Filth and those boys, George.
We've got some great things coming from you, bruv, because I can hear it. And you're getting better all the time because considering your production from when I was listening to it 18 months ago, it's a lot rounder, it's a lot tighter.
You're always progressing, always. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. Any advice to any youngsters coming in doing their thing?
Dedication, just do your own thing. Just don't think outside of the bubble and taking inspiration from people, you know, go back and just do your own thing, man. Yeah, just dedication, just don't stop. Don't get jealous of people. Crack on. Yeah, focus.
And your time will come.
Yeah, exactly that.
100%.
I've been doing it, first one out of 22 years.
Have you got your USB ready? Do you know this setup? Are you ready to go?
I am.
Let's go.
Lovely jubbly.
Let's go again. You know what I mean? Double bubble. I like these double bubble ones. Do you know what I mean? We get to listen to the artists as well. You got your water. Let me see if I've got the mic set up. Yes, I have. Testing, testing.